understand this will really be, for most of you, my last opportunity to speak into your lives. After the breakfast this morning, hearing where many of you are headed, it's like you're going to be scattered around this whole globe. I couldn't be prouder of you. So I was thinking, as you move into vocational ministry, what might I be able to give to you as my final word of encouragement? You know, you have been prepared for biblical scholarship, spiritual integrity, wisdom in ministry. But I do have one more question for you. How do you feel about your emotions? You know, God created us in the very beginning, a living nephesh, a living being. He took the ground and he breathed into it, and we became alive with a mind, with spirit, soul, emotions. God gave us our emotions. And all the emotions that he's given us is to move us to do something. It's designed by God with a purpose. Even our English word emotion comes from emotio. Motio, motion, to move out. E, out. It's to move us to do something. For example, the emotions sometimes we feel of affection moves us to serve. Sometimes the affection we have of happiness moves us to engage. Sometimes the emotion of sadness moves us to reflect. But there are two emotions that get us in trouble. Being French, it always gets me in trouble. And I'm talking about the emotions of fear and the emotions of anger. Do you understand why God has given us a capacity for both? You know, Solomon, boy, if you ever need wisdom, go to the scriptures and go to the wisdom literature of Solomon himself in the book of Proverbs. He writes at the end of Proverbs 25, like a city that is broken into without a wall. If you want to be vulnerable, you want to be vulnerable, threatened, like a city without even a wall, he says, is the man, is the woman who has no control over his or her spirit. We've got to talk about these emotions. Because if we don't have a handle on our fear and our anger as you get into ministry, you're going to have a great challenge. So, fear. Proverbs 29 says, Solomon gives this particular warning, but also counsel. He says this in verse 25. He says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. 17 different Hebrew words for fear. This particular one Solomon uses is the one speaking about trembling. It is trembling, and notice, he who fears a man, the word is Adam, dust, dirt. If we fear men, we fear people, it says it becomes a snare. Word means a trap. Say, how so? Fear is an emotion we have that moves us to either protect ourselves or others, or to just run. It's not a bad thing. You drive a Mini Cooper like me and a Mack truck coming down the road, fear is a good thing. Moves you out. And yet here he says the fear of man, of dust, of other people is a trap. And you know what the trap is? That fear can make you a coward. Can make you a coward in ministry. And you know what a coward is? Is when you feel those emotions of fear, you feel threatened, you feel frightened, and it will either move you to one way or another. It will move you to be a coward, or it will move you to be courageous. A coward is basically one who does not do what they know they ought to do, or they just go ahead and do what they know they ought not to do. That's a coward. Courage. Courage is when you feel the fear, But even with the presence of the fear, you do the right thing. You do the right thing. Now notice he says here, if you just fear people, you fear what they're going to say. You fear you're going to lose your job. You fear you're going to lose the favor of others. So therefore, there's some things you will not teach. Some things you will not say. Some things you will not preach. Some positions you will not take. That's when you become a coward. That's when you let the fear of man become that snare. But notice he says, but he who will trust the Lord will be exalted. That word exalted means to be lifted high, safe, away from the threat of Adam, of humans. You go, wait a second. Okay, I trust God and I'm lifted high, I'm exalted, so I'll be protected from the threat of other human beings. Excuse me, Christians hurt Christians. We joked this morning about sheep bites and they can go deep. Christians are murdered. Christians are persecuted. Christians sometimes go through horrible experiences. So how can he say here that if I trust the Lord, that I can go ahead and do the right thing? I'm not going to let that fear cause me to be a coward. Listen to what David said in Psalm 27. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I tremble at? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp around me, my heart's not going to fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. Do you know what God's providential care is all about? God's protection is God's engagement. Nothing, no one will ever touch you unless it has been passed through the throne room of your heavenly Father. And as Job said, when he finally got it after howling at the moon for so long, he finally realized, God, no purpose of thine will be thwarted. In other words, God is so engaged in your life that every good time, the pain, anything comes your way, is part of God's purpose and God's plan unfolding in your life. It is absolute. That's why you need not become a coward, even though you feel the emotions of fear. Because you will be fearful. Every time I get up before I preach, I am fearful. But you see, it takes a greater fear to cast out a lesser fear. And when I fear the fact that God, my Heavenly Father, is going to work out his purpose in my life, in my ministry, whatever I might do. All of a sudden, because of that fear and that reverence for God, you fear the Creator. You don't fear the creation so much. And so don't let fear deter you, but what about anger? This emotion, anger, is probably the most powerful of all the emotions. And Solomon says this in Proverbs 19, verse 11. He says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. That word, anger, af, in the Hebrew, it speaks of the nostrils flaring. If you were going to try to describe somebody really angry, look at their nose, flaring nostrils. But notice he says here, it is one's discretion that makes him slow to anger. It seems like anger is not the problem. God's created with the capacity to be angry. All the emotion of anger is the emotion of displeasure. And it moves you to do something. But what is the something? Jesus got angry in Mark chapter 3. Remember on the Sabbath, he goes into that synagogue and he sees this man with a withered hand. And he asked the question, is it right or wrong to heal a man on the Sabbath, to do good or to do harm? And remember those in the synagogue, the leadership, they said not a word. And then it said, and Jesus became what? Angry. And he healed the man. When Jesus cleared that temple, Most likely, the beginning of his 3-year ministry and at the end of his 3-year ministry, both times, when he made that whip, when he turned over the tables, when he drove out the money changers, he was not in a good mood. He was angry. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 even says with an imperative, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, what does he mean here when he says it is the discretion that makes one slow to anger? Apparently, anger is not the problem. It is too soon anger. So he says it's my discretion that's going to slow down my anger. That word discretion means my intelligence, my ability to think. I don't know, have you seen The Avengers? Not saying I go to movies, but if I had, I would have probably gone 3 times already. And I'll tell you the thing so great about The Avengers is the Hulk, the green monster. Because remember, he's supposed to just lose it, and he gets this rage, this anger, this temper, and he turns into this big green monster and he smashes. But remember, though, what you're going to find in the movie is that they keep saying, think, think, think. You see, the emotion of anger will cause you not to think. It will just bubble up your brain and you'll turn to temper. Temper is what will destroy your ministry. How do you keep your anger from becoming temper? How do you keep from becoming a big green monster that just smashes churches and ministry and people's lives? When you start feeling angry, displeased, as long as you are thinking, your discretion is you can ask yourself 2 questions. Question 1, why am I getting angry? As long as you can at least ask yourself that question, you haven't lost it yet. Why am I getting angry? Am I getting angry? Is it self or selfless? Am I getting angry because I've been burned? Some injustice to me? Am I the one hurt here? Well, then Paul already made it clear in Romans 12. Never pay back evil for evil with anyone. Be at peace with all men as much as lies within you. In other words, we're supposed to absorb that. But what am I supposed to be angry at? What about someone else? You remember when Paul Wagner took you through the book of Isaiah? The whole book, probably what, in a half hour? Do you remember the verse 16, 17 of Isaiah 1? Wash yourselves. He's talking to the people of Israel. He says, now wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove evil from your deeds from the sight, cease to do evil. Now watch this. Learn to do good. Now what's the good he's talking about? Reprove ruthless, defend the orphans, plead for the widows. But the first thing he says, learn to do good, seek justice. Remember Micah 6:8? When God kind of summarizes everything, he says, you know, if I'm going to summarize everything, here's what the Lord requires of you. Do justice. Pursue kindness. Walk humbly before your God. What is this justice thing? This sense of equity, fairness to the orphans, to people who are oppressed, people who are hurt. You know why God gives us anger? He gives us anger to move, to correct that which is not just. And the reason we have to have that anger, that healthy heat, is sometimes when you're correcting that which is not just, it's dangerous. And you're going to need that strong emotion to move you, that anger to move you to correct that which is not just. Therefore, when you, discretion, you start feeling angry, displeased, first question, why am I getting angry? Is this about me or is this about injustice for someone else? And that leads you to the second question. What am I going to do to correct this injustice? You ask yourself those 2 questions. Your discretion has kept you to be slow to get angry. And that anger commanded by God, that healthy, holy heat to move you, to correct by preaching, teaching, by admonishment, by whatever it is God puts on your heart to correct the injustice in this broken world where people are so hurt and damaged. That's a minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes the anger because it's dangerous. And God's given us the emotions. So you see, that's why in Isaiah 26, prophet says, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because it's going to always trust in him. Here's what I'm saying. You're going to have emotions, and emotions are part of who you are. You're a living nephesh. When you start feeling those emotions of fear, fear of the elders, fear of the people in your congregations, fear of the people you're trying to reach out, when you begin to start feeling the fear of man, the fear of dust, don't wait for the fear, the emotion to subside, because it won't. But let that emotion not let you become a coward and do what you know is not the right thing to do in the sight of your Father. But with the presence of that emotion of fear, let it move you to do the right thing, to the pleasure of Heavenly Father. And then when you feel that strong emotions of displeasure, from time to time you feel angry, things get you really ticked, you wish you could turn into a green monster and smash everything, let your discretion, let your thinking, when you start feeling the anger, think. And as long as you can ask those two questions, you are still thinking. And your anger has not become temper. Your anger has not become an attitude. It has become what God has made us. And remember the questions? Why am I getting angry? Is this about me? Or is this about justice and injustice somewhere else? And remember the second question? What am I going to do with my anger to correct this injustice? Fear, anger, gifts from God. Sometimes we just call it passion. It's the best way I can define to you what passion is all about. And so my prayer is that this is burned in your heart. So last